I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things for which our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. God knows our necessities before we ask. That's so wild. In a single person's lifetime, the phrase, I need, has got to come up like thousands of times. I can't even say how many times I have said, I need, in the last week alone. I need a good night's sleep. I need to eat a meal. I need a vacation. I need a new pair of shoes. Even before all those thoughts are fully formed in my mind, God already knows them. That's incredible to me. God understands how motivated human beings are by need, how incredibly obsessed we can all get with need. And especially, God knows how distracted we can all get with what we think we need, with what we want. That's the very essence of what it's like to live in a very confusing and complicated world, right? Like it's all of us figuring out what we need versus what we want, and dealing with other people and what they want and need. So let's do a little experiment this morning. I want you to take a second and think of three things that you need. Don't overthink it. Don't make it too complicated or see this as a test. Maybe take a pencil, jot it down on your bulletin if you'd like to remember. Think of three things that you need in order to feel alive and whole today. You got it? Okay, good. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But let's talk about the scripture lesson for a second. Jesus and his disciples are dealing with this very issue today. They're serving the poor and the suffering in Galilee, and they're surrounded by need and want. And the disciples, being trained in Jesus' ministry, have had these wonderful experiences of engaging with people, preaching with them, teaching them, healing them, and getting them connected back with God. And all of that work is exhausting. And so Jesus says to them, come away to a deserted place and rest a while. That always sounds pretty good to me, because it sounds like Jesus is encouraging me to maybe take a nap. And that always sounds like a great idea to me. But that's not exactly everything that he's saying. It's not just about rest. It's more about what it takes to respond to other people's needs, these great big needs in the community for healing and hope, because people in pain are coming to them from everywhere, asking for what they need from Jesus. And his response is just to take it in stride and to withdraw for a beat and rest. And so they do that. The disciples and Jesus row off in their boat and hang out for a few hours, and they have a chance to clear their heads for a little bit. I would like to say, just as an aside, this is a super annoying little part of our lectionary passage. You notice in your bulletin there's a whole bunch of verses that are missing. Some really important stuff happens in those verses, some very cool stories. So it's a little annoying that we're not talking about them today. But suffice to say, we're skipping over all of that. And in the interim, Jesus has had a chance to reflect on the crowd's physical needs and their spiritual needs. He sees them and he observes, the people are like sheep without a shepherd. And so he's been given a gift of perspective. He's had a chance to withdraw and allow for his own compassion to continue. And so we can't ignore that there's an important link in this story between need and compassion, and the gift that there is of gaining just a little bit of perspective. So let's look at those needs that you have, that you've thought up, your three needs. Whatever you have, big or small, those things are important. They really are. And we need to maybe get a little bit of perspective on them in order to see them rightly. And the way that we do that as Christians is through prayer. So what I would like to invite you to do with me today is to take your needs, and if you've written down the three, sort of look at them, or just hold them in your mind very close, and think about how prayer might invite you to shift your perspective on those things a little bit. Take out your bulletin and turn to that first page. We're going to pray together the collect of the day aloud right now. So it's the prayer on the front of your bulletin. I prayed just a second ago. Starts with Almighty God. So think of your three needs as we pray together. Will you join me? Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things for which our unworthiness we dare not, and for our blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. That's one of my favorite prayers in our prayer book. And I have to ask, did anything change for you as you prayed those words just now? Even just a little bit? Does it give you a chance to stop maybe thinking about yourself and your own needs and start thinking about bigger things? Was there maybe just even a tiny little shift in perspective, a reordering of what is most urgent in your life? So that kind of shift happens when we get a sense of perspective on what's most important. It gives us a stronger sense of compassion for ourselves and for others. So let me show you how this worked for me. I'll tell you the three things that I wrote down and how that prayer shifted me just a teensy little bit. So here are my three things that I think that I need. Number one, a Bojangles biscuit. Come on, it's morning, I need a biscuit. Number two, I need good work to do. And number three, I need my family to be okay. So those are my three things. And here's how praying that prayer gave me a little bit of perspective. So number one, I need a Bojangles biscuit. And my thought in writing that down was, I skipped breakfast this morning, and I think this sermon might get interrupted by you all hearing my stomach growl, and it's a little awkward. And honestly, I'm not a nice person when I'm hungry. I need a biscuit. And then I prayed that prayer, and I started thinking, okay, Sarah, you're going to get a biscuit. There's some in the sacristy. You'll get one right after the service. And maybe think a little bit, Sarah, about hunger as a bigger concept. What are you really hungry for right now? Because we're all gathered here ready to be fed by God. We're ready for communion with God, for Holy Eucharist. And maybe my hunger is not just about filling my stomach, but about filling my soul. So that's the first way that my prayer shifted my needs. My physical hunger gets reordered. So second, I need good work to do. And initially, I think I wrote that down thinking, I want something interesting to do with my time. I don't like being bored. And like most of us, I really like job security and a paycheck. And there certainly have been times in my life when I did not have that, when I maybe was unemployed or in between things or in a job that was unfulfilling. And it was incredibly hard. And it has to do with understanding my purpose in life. And so when I really pray about it, when I ask God for good work to do, it's not about security or money or being bored. It's about finding my place in the world. And I recognize that I'm asking God to give me work that is valuable, work that's not about me or what I can produce, but about God and about vocation and what I can do to contribute to the needs of God's kingdom. And then third, I need my family to be okay. I ask for that because I really, really love my people, and I'm worried about them, and I want to know that they're going to be okay through all the ups and downs of life. And I'm probably not the only one in the room who had that as one of their three things. We're all carrying around a person or people that we want to make sure that they're going to be okay. But there's a shift in perspective that happens there too. When I pray about this, I realize I have to let go of controlling the outcomes of other people's lives. And I have to trust that God's got them, really got them. And all these precious people in my life are just right there in the palm of God's hand. I need to trust that. And the only way, really the only way that I can do that is through prayer. We all have things in our lives that we think we need, that we feel like we're not going to get. And from time to time, we are called to examine whether these things are really about being fulfilled and whole, or if they are superficial, passing things. Jesus says in John's gospel, "I have come to bring you abundant life." So what do you need to live an abundant life? Not a comfortable life, not a successful life. What do you need to live an abundant life? As Christians, we are always needing to shift our perspectives on these needs. And like the prayer says, we are unworthy, we are blind, we're ignorant all the time to what really matters. We're always going to get off track. That's just kind of what we do. And we need to put things in perspective. We need to attain the most important thing and filter out all the things that we want or desire that are not about abundant life. And one of the best ways to do that shift, is to practice prayer every day. God knows that we're going to get so distracted and so caught up in our own ignorance of what we think we need, and we're going to forget to ask how these things are best for us. And so the gift of prayer is to open up our minds and to let go of all of these things that we can't control and to reorder our desires so that at the end of the day, we want the things that God wants. And it's all about perspective. A person who's looking at the bottom of their bank account, or who has recently been dumped, or is dealing with a scary medical situation with their child, they're all going to pray this prayer very differently than a person who's not dealing with those things. And so the next question is not only where is God calling you to have some perspective on your needs, but how can you start to look at the needs of the world and have compassion for those around you? And I'm not talking about comparing, you know, who's got what and who seems to have more out there. I'm talking about allowing your heart to be cracked open to see how need and want is all around us, all the time. Because the minute that we start to reorder our own needs and wants is the minute that we start to reach out and see the needs in other people. And this is good for us because it allows us to practice gratitude and to notice goodness in the world. And it also allows us to see that there are great voids of things like food and job security and connection and hope and kindness in the world. And we can start to see what we can do to contribute to those things that people need that are hurting. So let there be space in your life to reorder your needs and to have compassion for others. Let your heart breathe just a little bit easier that God's got this. God has really got this. God knows our needs even before we ask. And let your soul be fed by the one who invites us to live not a life of necessity, but a life of abundance. Amen.
Amen.